from Edward Rowe Snow's Pirates, Shipwrecks, and Historic Chronicles. Chapter 2, Rip Van Winkle of the Blue Hills. From 20 miles out to sea, sailors in Boston Bay often sight the Blue Hills of Milton. For centuries, the Indians of the area gathered in the hillside vicinity. Massachusetts Mount, as Captain John Smith called it, is said in folklore to have been one of the dead ice monsters that crawled down from the north with stones on its back. Legend insists that all of these creatures were stopped when they reached the hollows dug by the sun god, the hollows that have become the beautiful New England lakes. There, the gods pelted them with heated spears, melting the ice and leaving behind the glacial remains. Big Blue, as it's called today, now boasts the Harvard Observatory at its peak. 3 centuries ago, it was relatively unpopulated, although at its base lived the Aborigines, a tribe said to be distantly related to the Indians on the Isle of Manhattan. The chief of the Aborigines was Wabanawi, who, quote, thought more of himself than all the rest of the people did. He doubled in brass as a medicine man, and he was a poor one. Before long, as his prophecies never came true, he was called Headman Stick in the Mud. The chief's daughter, Heart Stealer, was as beautiful as her father was stupid. The chief made it a point to nag her and to forbid her every wish, as he thought chieftains should do. Then came the day when Fighting Bear, chief of the Narragansetts, visited Big Blue Hill and fell in love with a girl. He gave a long speech to Wabanawi, likening himself to the sun, the storm, the ocean, and to all the strong animals he could recall. He compared Heart Stealer to a deer, a singing bird, a zephyr, the waves of the sea, and flowers of the field. Then, getting down to business, Fighting Bear asked for her hand in marriage. He went on with the speech, talking of the prophecy that a great race with sick faces, hair on its teeth, thickly clad in summer, and speaking with a harsh tongue, was soon going to drive the red man from the New England area. By this time, of course, the Indians knew that the whites had been living on the fringe of the great ocean, not too far from Big Blue, but they had not caused any trouble. Stick in the Mud, who considered himself the only prophet of the area, was outraged. Springing to his feet, he cried out, quote, "Who has foretold this? I did not. There is only one prophet in this district, and I am the one. It isn't for green youngsters, Narragansetts at that, to meddle with this second-sight business. Understand? Moreover, my arm is so strong, it needs no help to exterminate an enemy. I can beat him with my left hand tied behind me. Had Fighting Bear merely asked for my daughter, I would have given her up without a struggle. If somebody doesn't take her soon, I shall lose my reason. But Fighting Bear has added insult to oratory, and if he doesn't leave soon, he'll never get there at all." End quote. Thus speaking, Stick in the Mud wrapped his furs around himself that only his nose showed. Fighting Bear folded his arms and with a scowl stated that his time would come. He then strode off into the forest. One evening, not too long after this, a heavy smoke developed over the Blue Hills, and shadowy forms were noticed flitting in and out of the smoke. All of the Indians now began to wonder what was going to happen. Stick in the Mud, who had been dozing as the smoke developed, awakened to find the spirit of a woman standing in the entrance to his wigwam. She beckoned for him to follow her. He did so at once, hoping to discover some secret that would be more useful to him than what he considered his fortune-telling matches, which usually ended in total failure. She quickly led him up a path of the Big Blue Hill. Finally, they reached an outcropping of rock, and there was a cavern the Indian had never noticed before, although he had walked in the area on many occasions. The cavern glowed with a weird light, and Stick in the Mud noticed that it was bedded with soft moss. Without knowing why, he sank on the bed of moss and watched, entranced, as the spirit began moving her arms in a slow, rotating motion. Soon, he was sound asleep. But on the next day, his followers could not find him. They began searching the woods of the Blue Hill area, but were unsuccessful. When the days turned into weeks, and then months, his followers decided that he was not coming back, and they elected another man to take his place. Down in Rhode Island, Fighting Bear heard that his tormentor had disappeared. He returned to the Blue Hills, where he again claimed Heart Stealer as his future bride. This time there was no one to object, and he took her back to the Providence area, where they were soon married. As Charles M. Skinner tells us now, came the, quote, men of sick and hairy faces, white men, who desired that the earth was theirs, and they took it, making it no longer a pleasant place to live on. When war broke out, Fighting Bear and the other Indians fought valiantly, but they lost and decided to keep the peace in the future. Stick in the Mud, back at the cave in the Blue Hills, awakened one day to find the cavern illuminated once again, with the spirit that had taken him there standing over him. Noticing that he had awakened, she spoke, quote, Wabanawi, I caused you to sleep that you might be spared of the pain of seeing your people forsake their home for other lands. The men with pale faces and black hearts are here. Had you been here, you would have stirred them to break the peace, and all would have perished. They have kept the truce, and now I set you free. Go into the Narragansett country and live with your daughter, who married Fighting Bear. Do not disturb their happiness. End quote. The rock then swung open, and this Indian, Rip Van Winkle, staggered out into the brilliant sunshine. His 14 years of sleep had left him painted with rheumatism and covered with moth-eaten whiskers, which made the dogs in the area bark at him. Stick in the Mud looked down into the Neponset Valley, but all his followers had gone. Where his village had been were log houses and huts, and barnyard sounds could be heard. After gaining a little confidence, he descended from Big Blue and reached the Neponset River, where he shaved himself as best as he could with a shell. An hour later, he was on the road to Providence, arriving there the next morning. He found the home of his daughter in Fighting Bear. Several of his grandchildren, who were running around, soon began playing games with him, in the most popular of which he served as a horse for the youngsters. As the long Rip Van Winkle-like slumber had rested him, Stick in the Mud lived many years afterward. There are those who claim that he comes back once every summer to the Blue Hills area. Every September, on the day nearest to a full moon, he appears at Big Blue and looks off at the sunset. You may see him then, or you may see him half an hour later skimming the surface of the Neponset River in his shadow canoe. Having thus visited the scenes of his youth, he retires for yet another year.